A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Avodah Zarah Lamed Ches, Avodah Zarah 38a, pagination is 75. We'll start from the first line at the end of the line. Omer Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Omer Rav. The statement is being made regarding shalakos, cooked items that was mentioned in the Mishnah, the case of Bishul Akum, things cooked by a non-Jew that we're not allowed to eat. But it depends on the food, exactly what food it was, and as the parameters will be described. To mention one bit of halacha before we begin, if a food is indeed subject to the laws of Bishul Akum, that we're not allowed to eat it if it was cooked by a non-Jew, if a Jew acted in a significant way regarding the cooking, it will be permitted. There is a difference between Ashkenazim and Sfardim, exactly what is an act of significance, but just the fact that it is non-Jew stuff isn't going to mean that we're totally stuck. By Ashkenazim, we have a fairly lenient method, which is that if the fire was lit by a Jew, or even if the Jew added to the fire in a significant way, then the food is going to be kosher. Sfardim require that it be put on the fire by a Jew. It's more involved. But again, there are methods to make this work. But if those methods were not employed, it's not going to be kosher for us. In other words, it's kosher in theory. There are no bugs in it. It's kosher food. It's kosher meat. But it wasn't prepared in a kosher way. It's not going to be kosher. What are the parameters to know whether the food is subject to Bishul Akum or not? So the opening statement is, Kol ha-ne'echal k'mos shehu chai, anything that's able to be eaten raw, ein bo bishum bishulei ovdei kochavim. It's not going to have the restriction of Bishul Akum. So let's take a case for no good reason, but it might illustrate the point clearly, of stuffed peppers, stuffed with chopped meat. So a person makes this stuffed pepper dish, cuts off the top of the peppers, cleans them out, puts in chopped meat, and bakes it. So are green peppers on their own subject to the laws of Bishul Akum? So the answer would be no. That's not a problem at all, because green peppers are edible raw. The question now is, you added chopped meat, so the chopped meat is not eaten raw, so then the item now is subject to the laws of Bishul Akum. Let's continue. Besura Masnu Hachi. That's the way they learned in Sura, which was a well-known yeshiva town in Babylonia. Bepumpedisa Masnu Hachi. In Pumpedisa, which was another well-known yeshiva town, they actually presented the laws of Bishul Akum with a different wording. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav. The statement is, Kol she'eino nechol al shulchan melachim, if the item is not eaten on a dignitary's table, it wouldn't be served at a state dinner, then ein bo mishum bishulei ovdei kochavim, it does not have these rules. So it has to be a food of prestige. Otherwise, it's not going to be subject to the laws of Bishul Akum. Let's go back to our stuffed pepper example. Our question would be, good chopped meat is not eaten raw, but is chopped meat generally eaten al shulchan malachim? Is chopped meat in this pepper application, does that play a factor or not? But this is an item that's not eaten raw, and therefore our question is it eaten at a state dinner? The Gemara continues and says, Mai beinayhu. What's the difference between these two opinions? there's an opinion of, is it eaten raw? Raw items do not have bishul akum as a consideration. Or is it eaten on a dignitary's table? If it's not eaten on a dignitary's table, it's not significant enough and it's not subject to the laws of bishul akum. But the Gemara wants an example. Give me an example. Ika beinayhu, the difference between them would be dogim ketanim, little fish. They're not eaten raw, they have to be cooked, but they're not eaten on a dignitary's table either. Va'ardi, mushrooms, also not eaten raw, at least in their culture, whatever they were referring to, but they're also not significant enough to go on a dignitary's table. V'daisa and porridge, which is also not eaten raw, but it's not eaten on a dignitary's table either. And these would be differences if the opinion was that we're only looking at if it's eaten raw, then these items are not eaten raw and they're subject to bishul akum. If the issue is state dinner, so these items are not eaten at a state dinner and therefore they're not subject to bishul akum. Tosfos points out in what I think is quite a clever inference, that there are other foods that could have been suggested as differences between the first opinion and the second opinion. You're telling me that the criterion, according to one, is it eaten raw? And the criterion, according to the other yeshiva, was, is it eaten at a state dinner? I could come up with items that are not cooked and are eaten at a state dinner. Devash and gevina, honey and cheese. Says Tosfos in the second Tosfos, Ika Beinayhu, that the second opinion regarding state dinner was coming to add permissiveness to the first opinion. It wasn't arguing that we don't take into account if it's eaten raw. Eaten raw is certainly a reason not to have bishul akum as a consideration. But in addition to the question of if it's eaten raw, we will additionally ask if it's eaten at a state dinner. And the result is indeed that in halacha we ask both questions. If either of them does not get answered affirmatively, the item will not need to be taken care of on a bishul akum consideration and will be permitted. In other words, if either it's eaten raw or it's not eaten at a state dinner, either one will make it a non-significant food in the sense of bishul akum and it will be permitted. Lahakel alav, says Tosfos, the point of the second was to be more lenient. Let's do a quick story. Amar Rav, the beginning of the line, midway in the little lines. If a non-Jew lit a fire ba'agam in the meadow, he's trying to clear the meadow, and they burnt it down in order to clear it. Kol ha-chagovim sheba'agam asurin. All the locusts that are in this meadow that got burnt, they got fried in place, they're going to be forbidden to us, even according to the approach that allows certain locusts, which is the actual halacha, although it's not the way we practice it because it's hard to identify the correct locusts. But even if locusts are generally permitted, in this case, they're going to be forbidden. Hey, Chidomi, what's the case? Ilema de lo yoda haitor vahaitome. If it's because you go into the meadow and everything is burnt to a crisp, and it's hard to tell whether it's the kosher type or not, why did you say the case that a non-Jew burnt down the meadow? Why don't you say a Jew burnt down the meadow? It would make no difference. Says the Gemara, Ela misham bishul ovdei kochavim. It would seem that the reason is because of non-Jewish cooking. So we have a law about non-Jewish cooking. Even though his intent was to do the meadow burning and did not have intent for the locusts, nevertheless, it's a bishul akum problem. Ki hai gavna mi osir challenges the Gemara. Really? That's going to be forbidden if it wasn't his intent? Ve'omer Rav Chanan bar Ami, omer Rabbi Tos, omer Rabbi Yechanan, the statement is as follows. Hayovi gechovim decharech resha, a non-Jew who is burning the head of an animal. The animal was slaughtered correctly, it's a kosher animal, and the non-Jew is busy with a fire getting rid of the hair that's on the animal's head. In the process, he ends up cooking the parts of the head that are flesh. Shari lemechamine, the Jew is allowed to eat from it, afilu mireish une, and it's not considered bishul akum. Alma, what do you see? La'avure sar kamachavin. His intent is to burn off the hair. He does not have intent for cooking food, and therefore it's permitted. Hachanami l'gulili agma kamachavin. Here also, his intent was to burn down the meadow. His intent wasn't to cook locusts, and therefore it should not be a problem of bishul akum. And the Gemara answers, la'olam d'lo yoda haitor v'haitome. Indeed, you're right, such a cooking is not considered bishul akum, and the reason you're not allowed to eat is because we can no longer tell accurately which locusts are kosher and which ones not. So you'll ask me, so then why was the case presented in the case of a non-Jew burning down the meadow? It could be a Jew burning down the meadow if the issue is that you can't tell if they're kosher locusts. The story that occurred was that a non-Jew burned it down, and that's how the Shaila was presented. So they always presented the halacha according to the case that precipitated the ruling. And this is, as we've described in a number of sessions, the benefit of a story is that you really know that that's the halacha. The disadvantage of bringing proof from a story is that it could be that's just the way the story played out and isn't really being recorded with the preciseness that will teach you the halacha in its exact form. When we want to teach you the halacha in its exact form, then we create the scenario in order to teach it precisely. Yashar koach. Thank you for joining.